Turn in your Bible, please, to Psalm 94 for a scripture that will introduce our text in the Sermon on the Mount. I want to read to you about half of Psalm 94, starting in verse 12. Find that on page 686. Hear the words of the Lord through the psalmist. Psalm 94, 12. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous. They condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Those are the words of the psalmist. And now I invite you to find Matthew 6:33. For the sermon text, the Lord Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Lord God, having read your word, we ask you, Father, to call our attention to it, to open up our hearts to understanding. Direct us, comfort us, assure us, Lord God. Surely you know what we need. And so we look to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bring Matthew 6 to a close here by looking at these two climactic statements that the Lord uses to cap off the passage. Remember, we're at the end of something that started, well, pretty much back in verse 19. The Lord Jesus has said, you can't serve God and mammon simultaneously. You have to choose. He has told you that you can trust him to provide your food and clothes because you are, as he says in verse 26, more, of more value than the birds. Okay, you are, in verse 30, more than the fields to him. Okay, those who belong to Jesus Christ by faith are God's beloved children. And his care for his beloved children goes far beyond what we call providence. Okay, you are born from above if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, God knows your human need. He knows that just like any unbeliever, you have certain necessary functional needs. But for unbelievers, their lives are consumed in acquiring these things and using these things. You, because of who you are in Jesus Christ, you ought to know that you can essentially lay all of that concern to one side and take your eyes off of those things and fix them where they ought to be, concentrate on something much more important and vital. And so we have these two statements in 6:33 and 34. Seek ye first. Okay? Give this highest priority in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You must obtain it, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things which he just referred to, things like food and clothing, the necessaries of life, they shall be added to you. Added. That's the first statement. And then there's another one. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. You let tomorrow worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Okay, so let's have a look at those things. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness foremost. The kingdom of God, you will recall, is the main theme of Jesus' preaching. Okay, remember how it's summarized in his first spoken words, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. There is this imminent, inescapable reality approaching us that God is going to set his son on the throne of the world. He is going to bring in an age of righteousness, holiness, peace, purity. He is going to purge out of it all forms of wickedness and sin and all who disobey him. He's going to put his enemies under his feet, the scripture says. That means he's going to subjugate and conquer them and expel them and destroy them. Okay. Therefore, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. That means your thoughts should not primarily be on your next shopping trip, your next meal, your wardrobe, your next party, your games, your interior decorations. Okay, all of the things that preoccupy everybody else pretty much around the world, and you should be taking thought for your soul. What good is it, the Lord says, for a man or woman to have every last thing that their heart desires, but yet forfeit their soul? Simply, Jesus is just simply telling us to use some common sense. Anything that you can buy or own or have today is temporary. It's already fading away. Soon the Son of God will be the King. That's what Psalm number 2 says. I have set my king upon my holy mountain of Zion, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. I will give you the ends of the earth for your possession. To obtain entrance into that age, friends, to be counted worthy of it, ought to be the foremost concern of your heart as the days and the years elapse and that last day approaches. Kingdom of God, seek it first. And righteousness, he says, seek that too. You'll recall that righteousness is the main theme of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, true righteousness, because the kingdom of God isn't for everybody. It's for those whose righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes. Do you recall that? Matthew 5:20. It's for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Does that describe you? It's for those who seek righteousness first, righteousness above all, the righteousness of God. Okay, and Jesus will give us many parables talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a dragnet. It catches all kinds of fish, but do they keep all the fish? No, the fishermen haul it on board and they sort through the fish. They throw the evil ones away and they keep the good ones. The kingdom of God is like wheat and tares that were taken together in the harvest, but they're separated. The tares are tied in bundles to be burned, and the wheat is brought into the barn. The kingdom of God is like a banquet that a king threw for his son. Many were invited, but a lot of people said, no thanks, I'm busy. A lot of them didn't come. The kingdom of God is like a wedding party. Those who were ready when the time came entered into the party. Those who were not prepared were shut out. Are you hearing me? Righteousness, my friends. Pray that you may be counted worthy. Pray that you may be counted worthy to obtain entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, for some of you, that means get saved. Today, you may be outside the life of God. You had better do your utmost to see to it first that your souls are safe. Fortunately for you, the Lord Jesus has said, seek and you shall find. Ask for righteousness and it will be given to you. Hunger for it, you will be filled. Knock and the door will be opened, okay? Will not the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That is the good news of the Christian message, friends, that the righteousness of God will be freely given to all who trust in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done. There is no difference between one person and another. We have all sinned, we have all fallen short, but God will freely give you the righteousness of Jesus Christ by his grace if you come to him through his Son. He gave his life to pay the penalty for your sins. So come to Christ and receive righteousness. For you who are already Christians, does that mean now you've got this in the bag? Okay, we can check the box, got the kingdom of God, can worry. Now I can go back to worrying about my, enjoying my worldly things, right? Is your spiritual journey now over? You can just go back to the kinds of pursuits that entertain the pagans now that you have eternal life all wrapped up? No. From here on out, it's steadfast perseverance. That is how you will continue to seek the kingdom of God. We have a long road to hoe before we come into our inheritance, don't we? There's many dangers, toils, and snares, as the hymn says. Philippians tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That means you have to continue to listen to the Holy Spirit. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit. Resist the devil. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in the evil day. Okay? Remember that you have an evaluation approaching, and you mustn't be found wanting. I'll call your attention to Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus says to one of the churches, he says, I know your works. I know that you have a reputation for being alive, but in fact, you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains, which is about to die, for I have not found your works complete. I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. You hear those words? Remember what you have received and repent, for if you do not, I will come to you like a thief and you will not know what hour I will come to. Okay, he says that to a church. He says, but you have a few there in your church who have not soiled their garments. They will walk with me clothed in white, for they are worthy. They are worthy, the few. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. If you have ears, listen up. The righteousness of God, which we are told to seek, includes, but it goes beyond what theologians call the forensic righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, when you believe in Jesus Christ, it's granted to you who believe. But James says, don't stop there. Faith without works is dead. Don't stop at just saying, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, and then fail to live your life for him through and through. Make sure Jesus doesn't say that to you. I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. We press on, we press in, we press higher, give of our very best to the Master. Okay, seek it. Seek the kingdom of God means to bend your energies toward it, to exercise yourself in godliness and to strive to come up to the full maturity of the likeness of Jesus Christ. And the promise of God, you see in the Matthew 6:33, the second half of the verse, the promise of God is for those who seek it first, that everything that's necessary for the life that now is will be added, okay, that they're extras. Okay, that means you get what you first seek. You will obtain the kingdom of God and you will obtain the righteousness. These other things, like with Solomon. Okay, the Lord comes to Solomon and says, Solomon, ask me for anything your heart desires. And Solomon said, Lord, if anyone is going to govern this great people of yours, they need wisdom and a discerning heart. So give me that, because who is able to do this task? And it pleased the Lord that Solomon asked for wisdom to be a good and wise king. And so he added to that all of the things that Solomon didn't ask for. Riches, honor, a long life. Okay, he gave him those things as extras. They're thrown into the bargain. Same idea here. Okay, if you seek the kingdom of God, you will find it. It will be given to you. And these other things that everybody tears themselves to pieces worrying about, okay, they're just thrown into the bargain. People don't elevate their mind above this plane. All they worry about is the possessions and the things and the cares of this world. Those things will be given to you if you just make the main thing. You'll never have to fret about them. Okay, because God's your Father. Remember that's been one of our main themes here in Matthew chapter 6. Your Father will reward you. Your Father sees in secret. You pray, "Our Father." Your Father feeds the birds. It's your Father's kingdom that you stand to inherit. Okay, God is your Father. Worry is your enemy. Worry interferes with your pursuit of the kingdom of God. Okay, see how, again, we have a split road. You have to choose one or the other. There's a dichotomy. If you're worrying about these things, you are hindering yourself from what should be your real subject, and that is the kingdom of God. You can't do them both at the same time. Worry interferes with your relationship with your dear Father. Worry impugns the Father's character, doesn't it? If you're worrying, you're suggesting to yourself that God the Father is either a liar, or he's weak, or he's unreliable. That's what Satan did to Eve. Didn't he make her worry? Really, that's what he did. Okay, Eve, you won't be all you could be. Eve, you won't have all you could have. Okay, worry turns your thoughts inward toward yourself. Almost always comes down to yourself. Think about the different kinds of forms that worry can take. What does that little voice say to you in your head? It says, you're going to forget to do something. Oh, you worry about tomorrow. You're not going to do it right. You can't do it right. You won't be safe. You won't have enough. You won't get somebody's approval. Okay? That little voice inside you tells you those things. The world puts a lot of different labels on worry, I guess because it manifests itself in so many different ways. Let me give you some terms. You've heard these terms, but think about how each of them boils down to one thing, worry. Anorexia. Okay, you know what that is? Anorexia. What is it really but a form of worry? Claustrophobia. Obsessive compulsive. Depression. Hypochondria, inferiority complexes. Okay, these are the world's labels. Perfectionism. Are you a perfectionist? Why? Aren't you worrying about something? Paranoia. Workaholism. Germophobia. Body image. Panic attack. All of these things, what do they come down to? It comes down to worry. I'm worried about my safety. I'm worried about my approval with others. I'm worried about my achievements, my reputation. I'm worried about the future. Don't you see how worry is malignant? It corrodes you. It gnaws at you. It destroys your relationship with your Father. And Jesus said that the worrier is like the one where the seeds, you know, the sower went out to sow, the seeds that fell among thorns. Okay, the worrier is the man who received the seed among the thorns. He hears the word, okay, everybody hears in the room, hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, okay, not just the riches, but the cares of the world choke out the word, and the man becomes unfruitful, becomes useless to the Father, becomes joyless within himself. Okay, that's because your eyes are not where they're supposed to be. Worry turns your eyes inward, and just like trying to text when you drive, okay, you should be watching the road. No wonder you steer off and run into a ditch. Okay, your eyes are not where they're supposed to be. You're headed for eternity. You're turned in on these temporal things, and they steal your attention, whether that's your safety, your comforts, whatever it is, personal approval, your health. These things only will be around for a short time. Fix your eyes on what is eternal. So let's talk about what to do. What to do. First, you have got to stop saying, well, that's just the kind of person I am. I'm just a worrier. Okay? That is surrender. That is surrender. You cannot say that. That's just unbelief. It denies the power of God to change you. Okay? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God to salvation. Okay, the Lord can change you if you're a worrier. The Lord commands you, if you're a worrier, then worry no more. Cease, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, this is what self-control means, right? You control yourself. In the book of Ephesians, Paul gives us, he talks about putting off old behavior and putting on new ones, and he gives us some examples. He says things like, if you're a thief, steal no longer. If you're a liar, then stop lying and tell the truth. If you're a sluggard, get up and work and earn your own bread. If you're a drunkard, put away your wine, be filled with the Spirit instead. Okay, what do you think he would say to the worrier? He's going to say, stop. Realize that it is a sin. It's a sin of faithlessness. Resist the devil, man up, and fight the sin. Fight the sin. We are not unaware of the devil's tricks, his schemes. He is trying to spoil your walk with the Father. He's trying to get you to doubt your Father. He is a liar. He is lying to you. Get to know your Father and trust your Father. Okay, so what to do first? You got to quit giving yourself an excuse by saying, well, that's just who I am. I'm a worrier. Preach the gospel to yourself. Okay, I'm not a worrier anymore. I was, but now I am a child of the Almighty Father through faith in Jesus Christ. God's Spirit dwells in me, and God has promised never to leave me or forsake me. Okay, so first, quit giving yourself an excuse. Second thing, pray. Christians need to practice prayer because prayer destroys worry. Okay, if you pray a little bit and you find that you're still worrying, the solution is to pray some more. Will you find Philippians 4:6? As a matter of fact, I put it on the back of your bulletin. Okay, Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Okay, not limited to food and clothes, money and things like that. Don't be anxious about your future. Don't be anxious about your weight. Don't be anxious about your grades. Don't be anxious about your safety, your past. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, that's very key, present your requests to God and the peace of God. Okay, do you hear? Prayer destroys worry. The peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. Another phrase there that's very key. Okay, you have to hear the individual phrases of that. Okay, your prayers must be seasoned with thanksgiving. Why? Well, do you know what thanksgiving does to worry? It undermines it and destroys it and invades it. It shuts up the devil. It says, I am content. The Lord has taken care of me, and I'm thankful. It quiets the inner man. In Christ Jesus, you can't forget that part either, okay? The peace of God comes to you in Christ Jesus. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. And if God has already given me Jesus Christ already, before I even knew him, he died for me, surely he will give me what's best today. If I just submit to him, trust him, worship him, and give him thanks. Yes. What is prayer but drawing near to the Father? Okay, it's warmth of fellowship with God Almighty that drives worry away. You out there who worry, that's the main thing, okay? That's the problem. The problem is one of nearness to the Father. Okay, your fellowship with the Father, if you are worrying, your fellowship with the Father is not what it could be. I'm not saying you don't believe in Jesus. I'm just saying that where is that warmth? Where is the happiness and the contentment that comes from knowing God? Your faith needs to proceed beyond the cross. Okay? You've come to the cross. You've understood that Jesus died for your sins. You're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You need to move deeper in and realize that God has to fill your life in every regard. He accompanies you all the way along, whether that's at home, that's at work, it's in school, it's in your free time. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But we're going to take this journey one day at a time. One day at a time. And I love this about the Lord Jesus, verse 34. He knows and fully acknowledges life is full of evils. Life is full of troubles. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, King James says. Okay, don't you appreciate this about Jesus? He knows that life is full of troubles. This is not a candy-coated faith, brothers and sisters. We don't sing and rejoice and be glad every single day. Although you might think that from some of the hymns, right? Now I am happy all the day. You know what? Some days are miserable. Many days are very stressful. Stress is part of life, okay? Stress just means applied pressure, okay? There's pressures of lots of kinds pushing in on us, pushing down on us. The Lord Jesus is quite aware we don't live in paradise anymore. Sufficient to the day is its own trouble. So he tells us very practically, don't worry about the future. Okay? There's enough challenges today. Okay? He's not minimizing the challenges that you face today. But let's just talk about today. Let's not worry about tomorrow. You can't get there until tomorrow. So when you get up in the morning, you basically have one day's worth of challenges in front of you. Let's make a list of those, and let's face those. Let's get through today. Now, grace is like manna, really. I mean, you don't get 100 years worth in one day. You get one day's worth every day. You can't accomplish big goals all in one day. So don't drive yourself to distraction thinking, for example, I wish I was a mature Christian. Okay? You don't become a mature Christian in one day, but you can read a book today. You can go comfort somebody today. You can ask a question today. You can take a step along that journey today. You don't overcome an addiction all in one day. Okay? There's a good reason that Alcoholics Anonymous uses that slogan, one day at a time. A person who's in a program like that might see their sponsor or another person who has been dry for 10 years, been clean for 10 years. Oh, I wish I could be like that. But you don't get a 10-year pin in one day. All we have to worry about is today. You don't pay off a college loan all in one day, or a car loan or a mortgage all in one day. You make a payment today. Okay, that's all we have to worry about. And if you're staring at the bill and you're thinking, boy, how many months is this going to take me to get over this? And then, you know, how are we going to get by until then? You're going beyond today. The Lord has provided for this payment, and that is enough. It happens to me all the time. I catch myself worrying about tomorrow. I assume that you do too. You have to ask yourself the question all the time. Am I worrying about something that is not for today? Catch yourself at it. And when you do catch yourself at it, put the commands of Jesus into practice. Okay, come back here, put a bookmark or something on Matthew 6, and come back here and read this passage. Read the whole thing and pray through it a phrase at a time or a verse at a time. Philippians 4:6. Okay, put a little flag in your Bible and pray through it. Take it apart. See the individual words. With thanksgiving, present your requests in Christ Jesus. Get a little pad of sticky notes and put notes around your house if that's what it takes. Put one on the mirror, put one on your wallet or your checkbook. Okay, put one over the stove, wherever you're going to see it. God is my refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. I won't fear. Isaiah 35 says, strengthen your weak hands and steady your feeble knees. And say to the fearful of heart, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your Lord will come with vengeance. He will come and save you. Okay, put some scriptures around your house. Now, maybe there's a couple other changes you need to make in your life to alleviate the worry. Maybe you're not living up to your responsibilities. Maybe that's why you have worry. Okay, maybe you're not doing your job. Maybe you're not doing today's tasks, today's chores. Maybe one of the reasons you worry is because you're not diligent. Okay? God's promises apply to those who love him, and those who love him get off their bottoms and do their duties. Okay? Once you've done today's chores, then you can rest in the arms of the Father, knowing that he'll take care of tomorrow. On the flip side, maybe you're trying to do 8 days worth of work all today. Okay? Maybe you're overcommitted. You can only do so many things in one day. Make a little list, choose a practical number of things to do for today, and stop worrying as if the whole world depends just on you. Maybe there's things you could eliminate or discharge or teach somebody else to do, okay, but God can run the universe with other people besides just you. Okay? I love the Word of God, how practical it is. The Lord really does know us. He knows what troubles us. He knows what concerns us. He knows what keeps us from having peace. And His Word pierces right down into your heart. Okay? He sees me. He's the best teacher. The only way to benefit from His teaching, though, is to obey. Okay? It's what He's going to say at the end of the sermon. If you just hear, but you don't obey, okay, you're the foolish man whose house is going to fall. We must make the effort to obey. Okay, that means you have to try to banish worry. Don't give yourself an excuse. Take yourself in hand and say, I will not worry. I will not fear. Okay, the man with the firm house is the one who puts into practice what the Lord says, not just the one who hears the message. Okay, remind you of some verses from the psalm that we read, Psalm 94. Blessed is the man whom you teach out of your law. You give him rest from days of trouble. Who's the man who has rest in days of trouble? The man that God teaches out of his law. The Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. Those are true words. Justice will come to the righteous, and the upright in heart will follow it. When I thought my foot is slipping, okay, when I worried, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the anxieties of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Hey, blessed be God who knows us and gives us everything we need to get through today. Let's commit ourselves to Him. Lord God, thank you for this assurance. It is hard, Father, for us to let you take control of our lives and leave tomorrow to you. In fact, next week, next month, next year, Father, we want to be our own masters. It's much better, Lord, if we let you drive and if we entrust ourselves, Lord, to your good supply. Thank you for the promises that you've given us. Thank you for the admonition. Thank you for the fellowship, Lord, that we have here with our fellow worriers. And we pray, Lord, that you would use us in each other's lives to help us overcome this little faith that we have. Help us to grow in our knowledge of you and our trust in you, and to concentrate, Father, on the things that matter for eternity, your Son's kingdom on its way. May it come quickly. Let us turn our efforts to being found worthy of it. And all of it we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.